Welcome back, and let's get into one of those advanced low-end moves that can really make your jungle and old-school DNB feel expensive, worn in, and properly physical. In this lesson, we're building warm tape-style grid on sub and base elements inside Ableton Live 12, but the key idea is control. We are not trying to trash the low-end, we're trying to make it feel like it's been through a loving, well-used tape path or a dubplate chain, while still staying solid in the club. That balance matters a lot in drum and bass mastering, because the bass is basically carrying the whole record. If the sub is too clean, the track can feel a bit sterile. If it's too distorted, the kick and sub relationship falls apart and suddenly the drop loses authority. So the goal is a soft saturation character, a little compression glue, and some harmonic haze that gives the bass attitude without chewing up the mix. The best place to start is not the master, but the bass group. If you have a sub layer, a res or mid-bass layer, maybe a texture layer, and any bass effects or resampled fills, group them together first. That shared processing helps the low end feel like one record, one voice. If you distort each layer randomly, the groove can start to split apart. And that's exactly what we want to avoid. So first, set yourself up with headroom. If you're working in a pre-master context, leave around -6 dB peak headroom on the master. DNB masters need space, especially once the breaks, bass, and later limiter stage all start stacking up. Now, the first plugin in the chain should be EQ8. Use it to clean up the foundation before you add color. Put a gentle high pass around 20 to 30 Hz to clear useless rumble. If the bass feels cloudy, make a small cut somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. If there's boxiness or a nasal edge, check the 400 to 700 Hz area, and trim only what's actually bothering the sound. Here's a very important mindset shift. In true jungle or old-school DNB, the sub itself should usually stay intact below about 80 to 100 Hz. The audible character is often happening higher up, around 120 to 400 Hz, where the bass can speak on smaller systems without wrecking the low-end foundation. After EQ, use utility to make sure the bass is mono, or at least that the core sub is mono. This is a mastering style habit that saves you a lot of pain later. The low end needs to be centered and stable. If you want width, keep it on the upper bass texture, not the actual sub. Next comes the heart of the sound, saturator. This is where the tape style grit starts to appear. Choose a softer mode like soft sine or analog clip, then start with drive around +2 to +6 dB. Turn soft clip on, and trim the output so the level stays matched. That last part is huge. Low-end saturation can trick your ears, because louder almost always sounds better at first. So level match as you go. For a res or warped bass, you can drive the mid-bass layer a bit harder than the pure sub layer. That often gives you that old-school jungle attitude without destroying the bottom. You're listening for harmonic bloom, especially around 200 to 500 Hz. Not just brute force distortion. If the tone starts getting sharp or fizzy, back off the drive before reaching for more EQ. If the harmonics get uneven and the low end starts behaving inconsistently, you can add a very gentle multiband dynamic stage. Keep it subtle. Low ratio, maybe 1.2 to 1.5 to 1. Medium attack, slower release, and just a little gain reduction. This is not for smashing the bass. It's just to keep the harmonic buildup under control. Now let's add a little tape-like glue with compressor. This is especially useful if your bass line has sharp jumps, note changes, or a resampled feel that moves around in level. Use a ratio somewhere between 1.5 to 1 and 2.5 to 1. Attack around 10 to 30 ms, release around 80 to 180 ms, and only aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on average. You want the bass to sit into the groove, not get flattened. A slower attack can be especially nice for old-school flavor because it lets the front edge breathe a little before the glue clamps down. That gives you that rounded, tape-worn feeling without killing the bounce. At this point, if you want to get more advanced, build a parallel audio effect rack. This is where we separate the clean sub from the grit. Make two chains, one for the clean sub, one for the grit. On the clean sub chain, keep things mostly untouched. You can low pass it around 90 to 120 Hz if needed, and keep it mono. This chain is your authority. This is the part that should survive on any system, from headphones to club subs. On the grit chain, high pass it around 90 to 140 Hz so you're not smashing the actual sub. Then add saturator with a stronger drive, maybe +4 to +8 dB, and if needed a touch of overdrive or pedal for extra edge. You can also use auto filter if you want a little motion in the texture. The key is to blend this grid in quietly. You want it to make the bass more audible and more characterful, not obviously distorted. A good starting point is to keep the grit chain a fair bit lower than the clean chain, maybe somewhere around 12 to 20 dB down, depending on the source. Trust your ears and always check in mono. If this bass processing is going onto a bass bus or even a premaster, you can finish with glue compressor for that final desk-like cohesion. Again, keep it gentle, maybe 2 to 1 ratio, attack around 3 to 10 ms, release on auto or somewhere in the 0.3 to 0.6 second range, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. If needed, soft clip can help round the peaks. But remember the philosophy here, glue the record, don't crush the record. You can also automate this whole thing across the arrangement, and that's where it starts to feel like a proper tune rather than just a static bass patch. For example, in the second half of the drop, bring the saturator drive up slightly, or push the parallel grit chain up by 1 or 2 dB in the second 8 bars. Maybe open the filter a little more into the drop. Maybe widen the upper bass texture a touch in the breakdown or switch up. Those subtle changes make the bass feel like it's evolving, warming up, getting more dangerous as the tune rolls on. That's especially effective in a 32-bar drop. You might keep the first 8 bars tight and darker, then let the harmonic density rise in bars 9 to 16. Then you can pull it back again for contrast, or bring in a call and response phrase. That kind of arrangement movement is classic jungle and DNB energy control. It makes the bass breathe while still keeping the pressure on. Now, one of the most important checks is mono compatibility. Open utility and spectrum on the bass chain or master, and collapse the mix to mono. The sub should stay centered and solid. If the bass sounds huge in stereo but falls apart in mono, that's a sign you've gone too far with width, phasey processing, or stereo saturation. In that case, reduce width on the parallel layer, keep the sub strictly mono, and move the distortion higher in frequency with EQ before saturation. This is one of those mastering habits that really separates a club-ready low-end from a cool-sounding headphones low-end. In DNB, monostable bass is not optional. The subs, the bins, and the PA all reward discipline down there. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't distort the actual sub too hard. Keep the sub clean and do your dirt on a filtered parallel layer instead. Second, don't let saturation pile up mud in the 200 to 400 Hz range. EQ before and after the saturator if needed. Third, don't over-widen the bass harmonics. Fourth, don't over-compress the bass bus. And fifth, don't use the master limiter as a rescue tool for bad bass balance. Fix the bass group first. If you want to push the idea further, there are some very cool advanced variations. You can split the rack by frequency instead of by source. One chain for sub fundamentals, one for harmonic bass, one for texture. You can also try frequency-dependent distortion by placing EQ before and after the saturator, so the tape character targets the 150 to 500 Hz area instead of damaging the true sub. Another great move is to resample the grit chain, chop it into hits and fills, and use that as a texture layer. That often sounds more believable and more old-school than endlessly tweaking one live chain. For the arrangement, it's often smart to start the drop cleaner than you think, then add grit after the listener is locked in. That makes the later damage feel bigger. You can also use call and response phrasing, where one phrase is more sub-heavy and the next has more harmonic bite. In a second drop, it's very effective to make the bass slightly more crushed or aged, like the track is wearing down in a satisfying way. So the big takeaway here is simple. Warm the bass like tape, but protect the sub like a mastering engineer. Keep the low-end mono and stable. Add grit mainly to the upper bass and mid-bass. Use EQ, saturator, compressor, utility, and glue compressor as your main tools. Automate the character by section, and keep checking mono and headroom as you go. If you get this right, your bass will stop sounding like a plug-in demo and start sounding like a proper jungle record, warm, worn in, and ready to hit the room hard. Now go build it. Compare it to the dry version at matched loudness, and listen for that sweet spot where the bass sounds older, thicker, and more expensive without losing the punch. That's the Laying.